Blog Talk Radio.
Quiet, please. Conversations with filmmakers, where we discuss everything film and television. Here on Movie Beat, you'll learn what to do and what not to do when it comes to making movies and TV. We will talk to everyone behind the scenes and in front of the camera, and I'll provide you with guests and the information you're going to want to have, whether you're a filmmaker or a fan. And so now let's move behind the scenes here at Movie Beat. First, my guest is Mr. Gary Marsh. He's the founder and creator of Breakdown Services, an invaluable or absolutely valuable service for producers, directors, casting directors, and has been a mainstay in the industry for now 40 years, as well as Actors Access and a host of other sites for actors and casting directors. So he'll be joining us in just a moment. The chat room is open. If you're listening live, you can join us in the chat room. If you're listening to this archived, well, the chat room is closed. But you can still hear all of these great interviews because all shows record live, and you can use the same link to listen live or archived. Shows are archived at rexsikes.com. That's my name. It's rexsikes.com. That's the official website of Rex Sikes Movie Beat. And at the interviews blog, there's over 200 fantastic professional filmmaker discussions, conversations, and interviews where these fine people share secrets, how-tos, what not to do, nuts and bolts, golden nuggets, tips and advice so that you can make your project smoother, faster, easier, less expensively, and to advance your own careers, whether you're in front of or behind the camera. Because Movie Beat is really designed to be a resource for you. That's why I connect you up with professionals who are making it happen. Now, you can subscribe to the website by clicking on the RSS feed right there at the welcome page. And if you're a producer, director, actor, casting director, anyone inside the business today, you're going to want to listen to this interview and, again, join us in the chat room if you are able to. All of these interviews, by the way, are also stored as podcasts at iTunes. You can get them, download them to your favorite electronic device, take them with you wherever you go. All right. Well, without any more delay, what I'd like to do is introduce my guest and then bring him on. I do have a couple actual announcements. I'm sorry, I forget. I am producing a movie with a couple of young directors. They're talented people, Drew Rosas and Nick Summer. They have a project called Billy Club. We have a Kickstarter campaign right now on Kickstarter. We'd like to surpass our goal, and you can help us do that. Go to Kickstarter, look up Billy Club. We've got about 37 hours left. So if you're listening to this live or archived, please go and visit the campaign. It's 37 hours from today, right now, on the 31st of August. It's going to end September 2nd at 1 a.m., so if you can help us out, we'd really appreciate it. Driftless Film Festival has accepted submissions. It's coming up in October. You should know that the Milwaukee Film Festival will be beginning on the 22nd of September, and if you're in the listening area for that, you certainly want to check it out and attend. All right, so my guest is Mr. Gary Marsh, and in just a second, I'm going to tell you all about him. He founded Breakdown Services in 1971, creating the process that is used around the world to cast feature films, television shows, commercials, theater, and other projects that require actors. He began his career as an actor after immigrating from England in 1963, appearing in such films as Camelot and Shampoo, but he terminated his acting career to begin Breakdown Services. He's a 1976 graduate of UCLA and a member of the Academy of Arts and, Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Since Breakdown Services' inception, he's developed many other services for the industry, including the virtual channel network that uses the power of the internet to transmit original content developed specifically for members of the entertainment community. Now, actors use Breakdown's Shadowfax service to obtain audition material, as well as Actors Access that allows for actors to update their pictures and resumes and demo reels and to submit it for specific roles posted at the request of casting directors. He has also founded Casting About, which is an up-to-date source for real-time casting and production information in New York and L.A. And Talent Pro Plus is a database application that organizes and automates the daily task of talent representation business. You know what? He's done so many things. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring Gary on, and we're going to talk to him about it. And just know that if you're an actor, Actors Access and the additional sites are absolutely critical for you to pay attention to and know about. And if you're a producer, director, casting director, or on the other side of the camera, certainly breakdown services as well as the casting services are as valuable too. So let's see here. We have Gary coming on. How are you today, Gary?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. I mean, it is. Rare, I guess, when somebody has the opportunity to listen to someone who, and I guess became a brainchild, you know, of yours to develop a service for the motion picture industry, which has become the service for the motion picture industry worldwide. I mean, that is an incredible accomplishment.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, people. You know, ask me a lot of times how it all began and, you know, the business plan I put together and and all the steps. And the irony is that I didn't have a plan at all. I merely started reading scripts for my mother, who was an agent at the time. I was an actor. And I was doing it so that I could pay my way through college. I didn't know I was starting a business that 40 years later I'd still be doing.
Wow. Wow. Well, how fortuitous, huh?
It was amazing. And you know, and I always thought that I was going to be a producer. I had, in fact... in the late 70s and early 80s, I had produced a couple of projects myself, thinking this was the direction I was going to go. But, you know, I sort of always got pulled back to breakdown. And so at a certain point, I decided, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do. And really embraced it. For a long time, I thought, oh, well, this is just something I'm doing on my way to doing something else. So it's been a very curious and interesting ride.
So when it did start, it sounds like it, but when it did start, I mean, you said you were reading scripts for your mother, who was an agent, so were you breaking the scripts down for her clients?
Actually breaking them down for her. You know, it's kind of fascinating having a 40-year perspective on the changes that the entertainment industry has gone through. And, you know, I'm somebody who doesn't at all cling to the past, and, you know, I always like to look to the future. But it's worth taking a second and looking back and seeing that in 1971 there was a little over 100 talent agents. There was 7 studios. And every studio had a casting department in which the casting directors were hired as employees, and they were assigned shows, and they worked 52 weeks a year. So the agents would go around the 7 studios, and the scripts that were available would be put out in the reception area, and they would all sit there and read scripts. And there was one script for each show, so they would pass them around, and that was how agents got their information. Now, the big agents of the day, I mean, you know, you're at the time, you know, William Morris, CMA, International Creative Management, which you know, used to be something else. They were sent the scripts. And the buddies of the casting director were told early on, hey, come into my office, read the script. And the agent would read the script and then literally pitch the actors in front of the casting director right then and there. And that was the casting process 40 years ago.
My, how it's changed, huh?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, when I first started out, and you know, I was reading a script for my mother, and I was 18 at the time, so you can do the math. I was reading a script that another agent wanted, and to get her, you know, from bugging me, I just told her I would carbon my notes. And very strange, you know, people ask me today, what's carbon? You know,
right.
So that tells you how far we've come. So I started carboning my notes, and other agents wanted it. And all of a sudden, I was charging them all $20 a week to get my carboned notes so that they could do other things.
Wow.
And I mean, that literally was the start of it, where today it's all on the internet. And I think that Breakdown has seen more growth in the last 8 years with the internet than it did in the previous 32.
Really? Wow. That's fascinating. I mean, I remember I was off air when we were talking. You know, I worked with a producer at Producer's Studio, and we would get the breakdowns. And I remember, I mean, it's funny because I remember, I don't know why particularly, but when Taxi was, you know, about to shoot the TV series. I think because I was also an actor, I don't remember if I auditioned or I was submitted for the same part that Jeff Conaway ultimately got. But, people were clamoring for the breakdowns. Actors all over Hollywood, you know, would be, you know, trying to get their hands on them, you know, to find out, you know, so that they could submit themselves. But Hollywood changed, too, during that time that you described, because there was a time when, you know, as an actor, you could almost walk into anybody's office and say hello or say, I'd like to set up a reading or an interview, and you had that, you know, available to you. And then suddenly it was like, you know, I would say by the mid-70s, that seemed to really slam shut, and it became submissions only. So the breakdowns became even more critical for talent, you know, for people to go, you know, what's happening? You know, how do I get, you know, and there was a drama log, and I mean, you would look at Variety or Reporter, things like that in L.A., and there weren't many sources, so, but I remember actors always begging to see breakdowns.
Yeah,
now,
well, yeah.
Go ahead.
It's very interesting that you bring that up, in that was a, what happened in the mid-70s was the, just like the studio system disappeared. The idea of casting directors being hired and available to do what, you know, are called generals started to disappear also. And that's what you're referring to, is casting directors, the studios started abandoning their departments and hiring independents, which was, it had never been, there were never casting directors who were independents previously, and then, you know, a few struck out on their own on feature films, people like the icons of casting, people like Lynn Stallmaster and Mike Fenton. But it was a time of change, not only culturally, but also in the way people did business.
Yeah, it you know, I look back on those days and these days, and it seems so incredibly different. And I was a young man. As I guess, you know, you were probably close in age, you know, the tail end of the Monique James, you know,
yeah,
contract players at Universal and things like that. That, you know, in the total demise of the studio system, I guess you'd call it, as it had been known prior. But So let me ask you this, because the breakdowns, for those who don't know, can you describe what the breakdown services are? I mean, my listeners are typically A-list all the way to newbie filmmakers and then some fans worldwide. But not everybody maybe knows, you know, what the breakdown services include, so what it is.
Certainly. The core of breakdown services is our ability and our staff of writers who actually read the scripts and create the breakdowns. Now, the casting director always has the ability to dictate or complete an online form for what they're looking for. But generally, a little over 50% of the projects that we turn out on a weekly basis are read by our staff, and they create a character synopsis of every role within a script. It goes back to the casting director. It gets approved, and then we are instructed where and to whom that breakdown should be released to. So, and that begins the casting process, the submission process, as it were. And so that is basically the core of breakdown, which in essence is we're a communication system, communicating the needs of the casting director to the either the legitimate representatives of talent. And these days, if the casting director so desires and instructs us to, they have us also release it on Actors Access, which gives the actors now a legitimate opportunity to submit themselves. Because the casting director, we don't release a breakdown on Actors Access, which is our actor portal, so to speak, unless the casting director specifically says, I'm looking for direct submissions from actors.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Very different because, you know, prior to the internet, we were under some, you know, a draconian mandate by the studios that the breakdowns could not go to actors, and
right,
that if I did give breakdowns to actors, I would somehow lose the privilege of obtaining scripts and breaking them down and,
wow,
you know, for agents, and therefore I would be out of business. There was a number of reasons for that, and that's because the casting directors would be overwhelmed by mail submissions.
Uh-huh.
The internet allowed us to create a methodology in which the casting directors can more efficiently go through submissions, and so the issue of, you know, additional submissions from actors became less of an issue, and the casting community, you know, bless them, opened up and started accepting submissions from actors. Now, you have to know, today, we release a breakdown on Leverage, and we release in L.A. about 400 breakdowns a week.
Wow.
On a show like Leverage, within 3 hours, from agents only in LA, they have approximately anywhere from 900 to 1,800 submissions per role. And they bring in 20 actors.
That is incredible. Not only incredible, but incredible odds. And people wonder why it's tough. Access is tough, but that is amazing. I mean, I never realized the numbers, you know, as you just put them forth. Let me ask you this, somebody asked from the chat room. They say, does Gary use services other than Actors Access, you know, such as Mandy? .com or is that pretty much the industry standard? Well, I guess the listener and chatter should know that. Well, could you go ahead and describe Actors Access and how you brought that about? Because this is a division of Breakdown Services in which you allowed actors to take control of their careers.
Absolutely, and that's our motto. It is for Actors Access is that it's all about control. Now, it's a proprietary website. We do all of the information that we publish online is copyrighted, and there is no benefit to sharing it with other websites. The actors, and we have, I will say, about 432,000 actors on Actors Access are in North America right now. The actors use the site for a variety of reasons. One, they can post two pictures, a resume, and a profile, and pay nothing. And they can swap those pictures out and pay nothing. They can email their resume that they create on Actors Access and pay nothing. And it also, if they have a representative, it links with their representative so that when the actor makes a change of their picture, their profile, their resume, it automatically updates the information that their agent or representative, such as a manager, is using to submit them for available projects. So all of that costs an actor nothing. And one of the, you know, I'm a former actor myself, and I believe at the heart of everything we do that there always needs to be a free option for the actor, that, you know, there shouldn't all, it shouldn't always be that the actor is asked to, you know, reach into their pocket and pay for all of this stuff. So what we do charge for is the ability to transmit their picture and resume based on a breakdown. So they would go to the site, they would look up Los Angeles, they would see the available breakdowns, they could actually, you know, do a filter called Breakdowns Fit for Me that fit their ethnicity, age range, and gender. And then they can look at the available roles and see if they want to submit themselves. Now, that we charge for. We charge for people that are just getting in, $2 a submission. But for people that want to do it on a professional basis, the better option is to join our side service called ShowFax so that they can have access to sides, which is $68 a year. And then they can submit themselves for free, unlimited, on Actors Access.
That is awesome. I mean, that is truly awesome. Now, let me ask you, because, I mean, you know, you mentioned a moment ago leverage and the amount of submissions that come in just from L.A. alone. But for somebody sitting in Idaho or Australia or Pennsylvania or France or around the world, how can they best use Actors Access or ShowFax or any of the websites that you have, to advance their, I mean, has it become worldwide in that they or nationwide?
It has become North America wide, meaning Canada and the USA. We have affiliates in London, Spotlight, and in Australia, Showcast, that do the same thing that we do, and we coordinate with them on the release of information. But we respect the way they do business, and they respect the way we do business, and we share information. And that really benefits the studios and the actors combined. But going back to how it can help an actor not in L.A., and one of the things that I tell actors is that they don't need to be as concerned as they may have been in the past about being in L.A. or being in New York, because there is so much production regionally. Texas, for instance, is the third largest area where they draw actors from in the U.S. The Southeast is becoming a hotbed of casting opportunities. And rather than an actor rushing to L.A. to compete with, you know, the 180,000 actors that, you know, are here, it is better for them to mine the opportunities that they can get in their local region, build that resume. And we're in those regions. We are working with the casting directors, and they are working with us and the agents in these regions, and they release their breakdowns through us to the regional talent, either to the agents in that region or also on Actors Access. So they can specify I want my breakdown going out to the southeast or the south central region of the United States, or I want it going to Louisiana or Michigan. So there's an enormous amount of control that a casting director has to place their information in the hands of the area where they need it to apply. So for an actor, they really, you know, should build their resume locally. If they have a representative, ask the representative, they, of course, are looking to come to L.A. The question is, am I L.A. ready? Am I ready to compete at the intense level that, you know, happens in Los Angeles or New York? And, you know, the agents regionally are setting up relationships with agents in Los Angeles or New York. And rather than just striking out, sticking your thumb out, getting on the bus, heading to L.A., heading to New York, whatever, it's better to work through your agent, because your agent may introduce you to an agent here. And one of the hardest things in Los Angeles is to get an agent. So you, rather than just coming here and withering on the vine like a plant without water, without a job, you're better off really developing that career locally. Build the resume and make some contacts, and then move to L.A. when your agent tells you, yeah, you're ready to go to L.A.
That is very sound advice, and it's always a whole lot more fun and rewarding if you're a big fish in a small pond,
yes,
I think, than to move to L.A. and be one of the millions of anonymous people, you know, pounding the pavement trying to find, you know, something. That's what's so cool about today and the Internet and your services and how it has united people and how it's made it, you know, opportune for people to work in their local areas. And, you know, hopefully with things like incentives or, you know, local film productions, you know, flourishing. Certainly you mentioned the Southeast, which is great, and I wish that were true everywhere, you know, that the state that I'm raising my children in, that's just not the case. But nearby states, it certainly is. So it is very, it's I think, wonderful and opportune for actors to take advantage of this right now and to take charge of their career, as you say, and help make it happen for themselves in their own area. Now, conversely, the flip side to that, and this is something that I guess I kind of harp on a lot, and that is oftentimes, you know, they mentioned Mandy or I see things on Craigslist that will say, you know, we're casting a film, you know, actors wanted, no experience necessary. And I get what they're saying, but at the same time, typically you don't make a movie and say, we're making a movie, we have crew positions open, but you don't need to have any experience. So there are those who are, you know, making their movies and they may not, you know, fully understand the benefits of having professional casting people or professional actors. They may not understand, you know, getting a service or having a service like Breakdown Services, you know, work their project. You have another service, though, part of it, and I want to talk about that, which is EchoCast. Now, some of the large movies like Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, and Hunger Games, and True Grit, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, you know, are some of the movies that have used this system. And can you tell us, how do productions benefit by using EchoCast and then the actors?
Well, EchoCast allows a production to reach outside of their geographic area that they can cover and view talent that may be right for a role. And it also helps actors who are regionally based be considered for jobs that are, you know, being cast in Los Angeles. And it is a system that allows an actor to be invited to do a self-taped audition in which the audition flows into the casting director's website login and password, but then not only presents the audition, but links the actor's resume and pictures that are in Actors Access or in Breakdown Services, so that when the casting director or the producer is watching that audition, they're not just looking at the audition, they're looking at the entire package. And then they can put a invitation out, they can get actors to do these self-taped auditions through EcoCast, and they can then determine, wow, that actor is somebody we really need to see, and depending upon the budget or the situation, they can either have somebody look at that actor locally or ask the actor, you know what, we're really interested in you. If you're willing to fly out here, we'd like the director to meet you.
Wow, that is awesome. I mean, that really is. I want to say that the Breakdown Services website is breakdownexpress.com. It's breakdownexpress, EXPRESS.com. It is posted in the chat room. And Actors Access, if you don't know it, is actors, actorsaccess.com. I'm going to give out some more of your websites in just a moment. Well, let me do it now. Castingabout.com. Is another one, castingabout.com. And then we're going to talk about the virtualchannelnetwork.com. And that's just like it sounds, but one word, virtualchannelnetwork.com. All right. So, Gary, I got to take a short break here for just a moment and talk about some upcoming things, and then I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're live on the air with Rex Sykes Movie Beat. My guest today is Mr. Gary Marsh, founder of Breakdown Services, Actors Access, and Casting About, and Virtual Channel Network, and other things. We're going to be right back with him in just a moment. Let me remind you that we are doing a Billy Club Kickstarter campaign. We've got about 37 hours left in the campaign to exceed the goal. Two young, when I say young, I don't mean young novices, but younger gentlemen who are directing this movie, Drew Rosa and Nick Summer. Billy Club is their second feature together, and you can help them surpass, help us, I'm producing, one of the producers, so help us surpass the goal that is set for Billy Club at Kickstarter by going there right now. The Milwaukee Film Festival will be starting later this month, in September, on the 22nd of September, so be sure to join. Be sure to go out and check that out. My next guests are Joke and Biagio. They are reality TV producers. They developed the show Scream Queens and Dying to Do Letterman and an MTV show Caged, and they've done network television on almost every single network save for ABC, but I'm sure that's going to be coming soon. They're going to make a big, big announcement on my show live tomorrow, so you're going to want to stay tuned and or tune in for that. Be sure that you don't miss it. It's an exciting announcement going to be coming from Joke and Piaggio on my very next show, September 1st. So don't miss it and tune in. Coming up will be Paul Batista, entertainment attorney. I want to mention that Paul's been on the show before. He will be returning. Director Peter Tolan will be coming back. The final episode of Rescue Me is tonight, I believe, or next week. I don't know the exact time, but the series is ending, and he will be joining us, as well as many others. Jack Perez will be coming back from Some Guy Who Kills People, and we want you to stay tuned and to help continue to spread the word. You know, all of these interviews are provided to you free. The podcasts are free. These website interviews from my website are all archived. They're there for you for free. All we ask of you is to share them, spread the word, post them, you know, anywhere and all over, so that other filmmakers and other people who are, you know, attempting to pursue a career in this entertainment business can benefit. So share the links, spread the word, tweet live, put it on Facebook, and always leave comments. Once the player closes where you're listening to the show live or archived, go ahead and leave a comment. Rate and review the show when you listen, whether it's a podcast or a web link. That's how you can help my guests and me continue to spread the word and help others. All right, everybody, I return now with my guest, Mr. Gary Marsh. Gary, this has just been absolutely fascinating. I really appreciate it. And, I want to keep going. I mean, there's so many different things. Casting About, Now, this is another division of what you offer, and it's you describe it as up to the minute source for insider information about casting directors in the project. So, what is casting about its greatest strength?
Well, its greatest strength, I think, is the vision of the two fellows that started it, and that would be Blair Hickey and Brian Wald. They had Blair is actually an actor who got together with a friend of his, Brian, who is in as a management consultant, and they came up with the website and developed it. They then came to me after they had put it together and had been running it a few years, and we all agreed that it was a natural fit for inclusion in Breakdown's family of companies. Casting about, in essence, is sort of the next step in the tools that an actor can use to manage their career. And it's really based on the concept. If you go back to this, the idea of leverage, for instance, over 1,000 actors get submitted, 20 get brought in. How does an actor become one of those 20? Well, a lot of times the casting director is going to use people that they've interviewed previously, that they know, that they also are familiar with somehow. Well, casting about gives an actor, it's a database of, it doesn't contain any role information, but it contains information of what the casting director is doing, who their assistant is, who their associate is, and notes on that project, filming in in Ohio or filming in Florida. Well, if you are if you're from Florida, you can certainly send a postcard to the casting director saying, "Hey, I hear you're doing this show. You know, I have my mother and father live in Florida, and I could be a local hire on your show." And that is a very powerful message to send to casting directors, and it's something that they take note of. But it also is based on the advertising concept of the rule of seven, which is that you have to have a certain amount of impressions before a consumer will buy the product. And actors, for better or for worse, are their own product. They are their own business. And I think actors get caught up in just the creative side and don't look at the this management side, and that is that casting about allows an actor to reach out to an actor to reach out to a casting director, and when they are doing a project, "Hey, come see me in this play," that's an impression. The reverse is true. Everybody, all the actors obsess about making sure that the casting director knows their story. But, the casting directors love the fact that an actor, might know about what they're doing. So a postcard saying to a casting director, "Hey, I see you just got a pilot. Congratulations." That's an impression. It doesn't always have to be about the actor, but every time a casting director gets a postcard from an actor, it forms a level of awareness of that casting director, of that actor. And it's like, you drive on the freeway, you see a billboard, advertising Powerade. Well, you don't pull over immediately and go buy Powerade, but when you're in the market and you're thirsty, you may choose Powerade over another brand. And so casting about works on that concept of giving actors enough information for them to be able to advertise themselves to the people that are doing shows that they feel that they can do. For instance, if I'm a stand-up comedian, I want to know what shows, what casting directors are doing half-hour sitcoms, because I want to market myself to half-hour sitcoms and invite those casting directors to come to see my stand-up. So it really is a sophisticated, really a pro tool for actors, specifically in Los Angeles and New York, to be able to use it. But certainly other actors can, you know, outside of LA and New York can use it. But again, the market is smaller. There's, you know, maybe five or six casting directors within a region, and it's easy to keep track of what casting directors are doing. In Los Angeles, you have, you know, upwards of 300 casting directors, and it's very important to understand what they're all doing and where their shows are and to gain any edge you can to get your foot in the door. And casting about becomes that edge.
You know, again, it's such great advice. We've had numerous casting directors, high-profile casting directors, and not so high on the show. And but people who work, you know, around the country as well as in Hollywood. And every time that I speak with them, I'm impressed at and how they stress the relationship aspect of working with actors, that they get to know a talent and they develop a relationship that hopefully develops into a working relationship because the actor is seen by them, they brought them in, hopefully they've done a good job and they may not work for this particular project, but they remember them. And they continue to stress things like send in your postcards and let us know what you're doing and keep us up to date. So it sounds as if casting about is just an absolutely incredible tool to help the actor take advantage of just that. You know, it's information about the people who they need to learn to network with. And as I always try and stress is, it's not just about, you know, promoting yourself, but it's really about taking an interest in someone. And so I think it's fine to send, you know, a headshot out or a postcard or something that always reminds them who you are. But it's also nice when you can just say, wow, you know, best of luck on your project. You know, I hope you succeed or I hope you have a fabulous time. And what this provides is that contact and information about, you know, who's doing what and who's working in the office. And I think that is just, I mean, again, it's one of those things that, you know, 40 years ago, none of us had.
Exactly.
So cool.
I mean, the ability on, you know, with casting about, it's like you mark, you know, 300, 400, 100 casting directors and you say print labels and it prints the current address of the casting director with specific information on the label that you can choose. And you're off and running. I mean, it again, as I said before, the internet really is really the cauldron of ideas that, you know, that we draw from. And it's you know, every time we turn around, it's like, wow, we can do this now. And it I'll tell you, I am. It's so exciting, and I know it sounds crazy. You know, somebody who's been doing something for 40 years to be excited about what they do. But I am excited about what I do because the internet has really opened up so many possibilities that you just didn't have it with brick and mortar before.
Well, absolutely true. Now, I've got a couple comments coming in the chat room that say, Life311 says, Atlanta actor here just started marketing program this year with packages and postcards and have gotten more auditions through this. And then HTLA973 says, contact management is everything in any business. And one of the things that we – and then Life311 came back and said – you know, we don't have 100, you know, casting directors in the South, you know, where he or she is. We've got like 5 good ones, which is just like what you said. So the amazing thing about all of this is that as never before, you know, actors have access through your services to the people who are making it happen, the people who can provide them jobs, and as in any business, the smarter you are about it, the more you work your individual brand, the more you, as this person pointed out, you know, manage, you know, your contacts and your database on a daily or weekly basis, the more luck and the more success one is going to create for oneself. So, you know, again, just incredible resources are now available through your services, Gary, that, I applaud you and the people who you work with, you know, for making these available to talent in this way, and on both sides of the camera, because it is so different, and it's so exciting, and it is absolutely staggering the numbers of people who are involved in all of this, and so it does give people opportunities they never had before.
Yeah, I mean, an actor, you know, as the individuals commenting in the chat room are saying, you know, the one in the Southeast, yeah, you know your casting directors, and it's more manageable in your area. And, you know, don't you think it's an opportunity to get to know those casting directors and to really establish a relationship. You said before, it really is all about relationships in this business. And a casting director is, if you think about it, they're an independent contractor. They bring you, as an actor, they bring an actor into a room, and that actor is really a choice that of those, you know, 20 that come in the room, they are really the choices of the casting director. And the casting director is saying really to the producer, any one of these people I believe in, and they can do the role. So, you know, the casting director is really relying on the actor to represent them well. And as long as the actor is prepared and represents the casting director well in front of their employers, then that casting director will continue to bring in that actor for roles that they think they're right for. And eventually the producer is going to say, yeah, let me hire that guy. And I think that actors have to take the position that they're part of the casting director's team, that they are on the side of the casting director, and the casting director is really on their side, especially if the casting director is bringing them in. And I think that is, instead of the actor thinking, oh my God, I'm in front of a casting director and freezing up, they need to take the position of, hey, I'm in here because the casting director thinks that I can deliver, and so I'm gonna represent the casting director really well, and we're gonna work together as a team to get this project cast.
That is just such fantastic words of wisdom I cannot express. I wish when I was a young actor I had known that. I wish that was the kind of thing that was, you know, kind of like written above every casting director's door before you walk in. Because, you know, I don't think enough people realize that, you know, that the notion of teamwork. And we've talked about it on the show, and I've talked with directors and producers and other people, and they all go, you know, I'm looking for somebody who can be part of the team. And yet, you know, I don't think people, you know, they go, well, how am I a team? You know, well, you know, I'm an actor, or this is my moment to shine. But what you just said right there, when an actor has the opportunity to read for a producer or director, you are part of the casting director's team, and you are representing the casting director. And if you do a good job, and you, even if you don't get the part, the casting director wins. And if the casting director wins, then by virtue of that, you will win, because they're going to want you back because you did a good job representing them. So, you know, it really is a win-win two-way street where one hand washes the other and both can benefit greatly. And when I was a young guy in Hollywood, I always thought it was just this kind of contentious gatekeeper kind of relationship and didn't recognize, you know, how business is typically done. And it, in some ways, it's not unlike, you know, the old social party kind of thing where you introduce your guests to the coolest people in the room. You know, you're saying, hi, I want you to meet this person. You know, and that's kind of what a casting director does for the producer or director. They're saying, I want you to meet this person. They're cool. They can fulfill something for you. And then, of course, it's up to the, you know, the choices, you know, or whatever. But Gary, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the way you spoke that, because I think it's really crucial for people to hear, critical for people to hear.
It really is. And you know, as a young actor myself, I was just like you. I was terrified as a child going in to meet a casting director, and I would be very, very nervous. And I think I hurt myself more than helped myself, you know, with an attitude that was not positive in terms of what was really occurring. But and it didn't. It took me a long time to really understand it. So it's not something that people come to naturally and normally, and that's why, you know, beyond, you know, talking about breakdown and actors' access, it's really important to talk to the actors about, you know, information that will help them. Just like, you know, hey, you've got to you know, manage your career. You've got to, you know, step outside the whole submission process, and you've got to market yourself. You know, most actors, they only think one track, submit myself for roles, and that's all they think about. And if you think, there's, you know, you have a business, you have a sales team, and you have a marketing team. Well, for an actor, it's all in one. So the sales is, I'm going to submit myself for a role. But for the marketing side, it's, I'm going to develop these relationships, these long-term relationships, and it's not a one-to-one relationship in terms of, you know, I do one thing and I get a reward or I don't get a reward. It's, you know, it's working over time, and these things develop over time, and they don't get that instant gratification of a result, but it is as important as the sales side, which is the marketing side for an actor.
You know, you and I came up in that business. I wish I had been, you know, clever enough to come up with breakdown services, but you and I had come up in the business at around the same time, you maybe a little before me, you know, and in how it changed, I just got distracted. I really apologize because I got a couple questions here I want to ask you from the but the notion that you could develop a relationship or treat it as a business just didn't seem to be anywhere. I mean, you could look around. It was hard to find, you know, it was hard to find a good manager who would go, look, you know, this casting director's on your side, or this agent really wants to find a person, you know, who they can represent. It always seemed to be, you know, that we were alone, you know, we were struggling. Even if you had an agent, you know, it was kind of, some people would audition all the time and other people not so much, but you'd be calling your agent hoping that they could get you something and thinking that they were responsible for your career. I mean, that's kind of how I thought about it. And now, you know, we have an opportunity to be in charge, you know, be our own kind of PR guy, our own branding person, our own marketing person, our own social networking person. I mean, we can take charge in ways that we never have before. And again, I mean, you know, you have provided so many of these tools to make that possible. It's just mind-boggling. People have commented, you know, that you know, it's great that you know, we talked about the relationship, you know, building relationships with an agent or casting director, that it does make it more relaxing in the in the audition room for them. One person asks, this is Jonathan, says, I'm an indie filmmaker, and what's a good way for me to find a casting director? Do you have some advice on that, Gary?
Absolutely. There is a stellar organization called the Casting Society of America, CSA. They're based in Los Angeles and New York, and they have this great program that I don't think many people know about. And that is that if you're working on a low-budget project, you can submit a script to them, to the CSA, and say, look, I only have X number of dollars in my budget for a casting director. And they will pass that script around to casting directors who are willing to do projects in which, you know, they're not going to make their normal fee. It also goes to the associates, people who are looking to build their credits. And that indie filmmaker would get a call from a casting director who is a CSA member, which is really the organization of casting directors in the United States, and saying, I read your script, I would like to do your project. And people don't realize that that is a that resource is there for the taking. And it's a great resource because you're going to get people who are really committed to being casting directors and building their own resume, or you know, have been doing projects and are looking to, you know, get more experience as well. For a project in which there is, you know, a significant budget, then, you know, the casting directors in a indie filmmaker's local area are great and available. I mean, if anybody is like, well, who are those casting directors, you know, is saying, you know, who are those casting directors in that area, just call Breakdown Services. We'll tell you who the, you know, the casting directors of repute are in any area in the United States.
Very good, very good. I do want to turn my attention now, or our attention now. Oh, hold on, let's see, we got a question for Gary. Will Actors Access open up the opportunity for actors to post their actors slate of their that was not produced by Actors Access? And how effective do you think slates are these days, and do they replace a demo reel? Okay,
what they're talking about is a product created by Chelsea Studios. It's actually not created by Breakdown Services. It is a form of a general interview in which Chelsea Studios films you, asking you questions, and then they edit that down to a minute. It's a personality interview, basically, of a minute. And years ago when it was created, we signed a contract saying that that format was we were only going to allow Chelsea Studios to create actor slates and put them on our site. They continue to do that. Now they can do, there's other things they could do. They could do a hosting slate or a scene in which two people are doing a scene. Those are not, we don't have a contract where we've agreed to only take it from Chelsea Studios. So there are other forms. Having said that, in regionally, I think that the actor slate is a very useful tool because a lot of actors don't have film on themselves, and an actor slate gives a casting director a chance to get to know the actor. It's a 1 minute general interview. In LA and New York, it is not as valuable because the casting director wants to see performance over personality. So that's the sort of give and take on actor slates.
Awesome. Now, by the way, I should tell you that in the chat room, people are saying thank you, and they're saying awesome, and they're appreciating your responses. I haven't mentioned each time that they do that, but they are very grateful, and as am I. But let me ask you this. How about any tips or suggestions on reels or speed reels or what goes up on Actors Access? What is the flavor of the day, if you will, the industry standard in terms of putting a reel up? Because I know people have their own websites sometimes, and their reels are anywhere from, you know, a couple minutes long to 20 minutes long and things like that. So, and in talking with casting directors, I've heard what they wish. But can you share any information on that?
Certainly. I believe that, you know, based on, you know, the comments of casting directors, first of all, let's go back to looking at what a casting director's day looks like. They have 1,000 submissions that they've got to get through. And, you know, the submissions with video are ahead of submissions without video in terms of how they're placed. Now, they click on an actor. They don't know an actor. They click on it, and the actor has a 3-minute reel. Casting director is never going to watch all 3 minutes. The only one who's going to watch it is their mom. The actor's mom. It is a speed business. It's like speed dating, as it were. So with the internet, you have to get away from the concept of putting up a reel. It works in certain circumstances, if you want to show a director your compilation of your work. But in the casting process, you're much better off putting up clips, individual clips of your work. On Actors Access, you can, and it's crucial that an actor do this on Actors Access, is they have to name the clip and they have to put in a description of what the clip is about. Not just, this is a comedy clip, but a scene in the gymnasium with, you know, with this actor, with Will Smith in, you know, Pursuit of Happiness. That tells a casting director what they're going to watch for. And that way, in effect, when an actor is making a submission or the agent is making a submission, the agent can select the specific clips that match what the role is that the casting director is trying to cast. So, in other words, if I've got Everybody Loves Raymond, I'm not going to submit a comedy for CSI Miami. I'm going to submit the dramatic clip that I have. And especially if I have a dramatic clip where I'm playing a lawyer and the role that I'm being submitted for is for the role of a lawyer, that's the clip I want to submit because I want the casting director to see I can play this role. I'm good at playing lawyers. I'm competent at playing lawyers, so bring me in is the message, the subliminal message that you're sending. So nowadays, everything should be clip-based rather than reel-based.
Again, very valuable, very critical for people to hear. I like what you started with when you said, well, you know, first consider what a casting director's day is like. And I don't think enough people, you know, we hear this thing about, you know, you should walk a mile in somebody's shoes. But, you know, we go to parties, we go to casting events, we go to filmmaker things, and somebody will run up to a producer with, you know, scripts, you know, stack of scripts under their arms and go, would you read my script and hand it to somebody at a party? And I'm always very quick to say, you know, nobody wants to carry more stuff around, you know. I mean, you know, and there's protocol and there's things. But Ted Hope, a friend of ours on Movie Beat here, said one time, he said, consider how many hours there are in a day and how long it takes to read a script. And if it takes 2 hours to read 120 pages, then there's only so many hours in a day that I could read scripts, you know, and do my business and work and produce and be with my family and do all those kinds of things and also go out and have some fun and some time for myself. And if I don't know you and you give me a script and I've got all these friends who want me to read these scripts, how many, you know, where am I going to find time to do all this?
Right.
And I think what you just said, you know, and that is if you're an actor or a filmmaker of any kind or a screenwriter, think about the person who you're approaching and what their day is like and what their needs are and how overworked they probably are and how little time and attention they have, and then figure out and use your advice about how they can best maximize the chances that the person is going to be able to take notice of them in some fashion, and to do it, you know, with respect and with rapport and with good marketing savvy and all the stuff that comes along with being a professional, because otherwise it does seem like you're just shooting yourself in the foot or you're putting stuff out there that no one's ever going to ever be able to watch or read or you know, so the key is to follow advice from Gary and professionals so that you maximize your efforts and you get great results with, you know, the least amount of, I don't want to say the least amount of effort, but with the least amount of resistance.
Well said. Yeah, the least amount of resistance. If you give somebody a 3-minute reel to watch, and what you really want them to watch is something in the 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Again, just outstanding advice, Gary. I so appreciate this. I want to get to the Virtual Channel Network.
Sure.
Because this is a network for the entertainment industry, and it's another part of what you do and what you offer. So could you explain a bit, you know, about that and what made you create the Virtual Channel Network?
Well, the VCN, as we like to call it, is our PBS for the industry. Its mission is to educate and entertain. We do it you don't have to sign in, you don't have to be a member. You know, I have a great team of people headed by Seth Colton and Otto Wolfuck, who are the executive producers of all these shows. And they literally go out and they create programming that is of interest to actors, to writers, to entertainment professionals, and we literally produce shows and put up new shows every Monday for people to watch, and it's all archived. And it's interviews with casting directors, it's interviews with talent agents. We have a show called The Real Deal, which is hosted by Ryan Glasgow and Ivy Eisenberg, a manager and a casting director. And they review actors' reels and then, make comments on what could be better, what they liked, what they didn't like, sort of like a Siskel and Ebert kind of format, to give actors a perspective as to, you know, straight from the casting director or the talent rep, so that they have an insight as to what works and what doesn't. And there are many other shows. The Writer's Block is a show that we have. We have an acting show that is produced by a fellow named R.J. Adams. And so it really is taking the concept of the network broadcasting, but now using the internet as the method to transmit, just like we're doing right now.
Wow. So where does VCN go from here?
There are many plans that we have in terms of how we're going to expand it and what we're going to do with it. Those are secret plans right now. But the basis of the VCN is the ability to communicate to actors, and also, you know, for all the actors. I mean, we really understand that the industry is what feeds us. It's what, you know, I make a living in the entertainment industry, and it was a great opportunity to give back something to the community without there being any, there's no financial, you know, hooks in this. It really just is a way for Breakdown to say we're part of the community and we understand that, you know, you're supporting us, so here's a way we can support you.
Wow, that is really very cool. We've got a couple of questions that I hope you don't mind. We're going to backtrack a little bit and
sure.
Answer some questions, and I don't want to sidestep or you know, divert you from things that you're talking about, but I did want to be able to include some of these. And there may have been a sound glitch or something that happened. I'm not sure what happened, but it seemed that everything is resolved. So if there was, I apologize, and I hope that everything is good. Life311 says, should you only post clips that are with a recognizable actor or indie films okay too? I guess when it comes to doing when we were talking about our clip discussion a little while.
I'm sorry if I gave the impression that you should only post clips with recognizable actors. Absolutely not the case. You should post clips that are professionally done. That could be a student film. And as long as it presents you in a professional way, that is a great clip. Some thoughts about how to present that clip. Let me add a couple of notes here. One is the clip should always start with your image on screen, not the actor opposite you. Okay? It should always be you. And it's not about the context. You're not trying to tell a story here. You're trying to show your acting ability. So you don't have to worry about that it doesn't have any context to it. It really just needs to show your acting ability. The other thing is that casting directors actually hate is montages. No, never start with a montage of you kicking, screaming, fast clips, music. That is anathema to the industry. It don't try to get fancy with it. Just try to present you as an actor, do acting. And those are two things that are just must-dos, you know, in presenting clips.
Again, excellent advice. Somebody asked if they could ask a question, and I said yes, and their question is this. They ask, why is, I'm sorry, this almost, and to the guest who asked it, I do not, I'm not making light of your question, but it's almost a loaded question. It's he said, he or she asks, why is television today so bad? And I'm trying to scroll back to it. Why are the TV shows so
poor? I've got an answer for that.
Okay.
The answer is, the fact is that it's never been great. We've always had a what we call a board of shame in our office. It's just that the listener has become sophisticated enough to recognize that it's bad.
Very good, very good. I actually, you know, and I actually think television has come quite a long way. It's for me, I find that some things that I enjoy today more are TV shows than many of the feature films I see. And that's not necessarily network. I don't mean it that way. And they are few and far between. But I do think that some of television has come of age and has really demonstrated, you know, that it can do well, you know, in its particular.
It certainly is more the sophistication and the ability to do more within the time constraints that production is allowed to create television. That certainly is the case. And I think that, you know, seriously, looking back, there were an awful lot of really bad shows. And we tend to forget the bad shows and only remember the good shows. And they are really, you know, were few and far between even then. But the difference is now we have so many choices. In, you know, in the past, we had three networks, and those were our only choices. Now we have, you know, a multitude of choices, and therefore we have exponentially bad shows, and we have good shows. And then looking into the future, people will look back, and they'll remember, you know, the best, and, you know, not remember the worst.
That's a good point. Hey, you know, I never thought I'd ask you this question, but I'm going to, and I hope you don't mind. And that is because you've got your pulse on this industry in so many ways. That is, you know, when you and I were coming up, there, you know, said, well, there's like 100-some-odd thousand actors, and only 2% make a living of it, you know, at it. And there were three networks, as you say, and probably in the 70s. I don't remember now what I think they said there were 100 films made a year or something like that, you know, when in 39, they, you know, MGM alone could put out a different movie every day and or just release one. And but today, you know, you have more channels than ever before. You've got more cable networks. You've got music videos. You've got video games. You've got content being provided, you know, being made for the web, you know, alone. You've got stuff being made for cell phones. You've got more outlets, it seems, for actors and for filmmakers or content makers to produce and make product for. And yet it seems like the same amount of people are out of work, and the same amount of people are making a living at it. I mean, and 24-hour, around-the-clock, you know, hours to fill. And I'm a little bit surprised at that. It just seems like the is it because more and more people just keep getting into it, then, or what do you have an attribution for what's going on today, or what the future holds?
I think that we are in a period of we're in the middle of change, and in some ways we can see that change happening on a day-to-day level, but we really don't understand where it's going to rest. The analogy is that, you know, you you take a kayak at the top of a stream and or a river, and you're going through the rapids, and you know down below that there's calm water. You just don't know when you're going to find it. And, you know, it is all about change. And we are in an information revolution. People will look back at this time in history, and I think it will be a significant time in history given, you know, what is going on. And I think that the entertainment industry is a mirror of what is going on today to us. And so, you know, I don't think we can really tell what is going to happen. I mean, we just know that we're in the middle of change. I mean, advertisers, for instance, are, you know, only have a certain amount of money to advertise their product. People are using DVR to fast forward through commercials, which is essentially what is paying for the programs. So we will have to, in the future, develop new models for financing these the programs that people watch. You know, cable TV is a reflection of one of those avenues where we're paying essentially a subscription to watch programming. You know, it's different than free broadcast television because we don't want to watch commercials. So I think that it's difficult to know where we're going. We just know that we're going in a direction and that there will be a settling down the way.
Awesome. Well, Gary, you know, you have been very generous with your time. I'd like to leave you with any closing comments that you have and before that you wish to make. But before you do, I want to again say that Breakdown Services website is breakdownexpress.com, and that's breakdown, EXPRESS.com, and Actors Access, ACTORSACCESS.com, Actors Access, castingabout.com, and virtualchannelnetwork.com are the four websites that Gary has for you to check out and look into. So, Gary, I mean, you know, you've been awesome, and the advice and the information you provided has been stellar. I mean, I am so thrilled and so pleased, and the people in the chat room concur and have given you many thanks and kudos for that. So, in wrapping it up, I just give over the last few moments to you and allow you to, you know, we've got minutes, but I mean, I'm just saying, it's yours. Say anything you like.
Well,
seriously, which way you want.
Something brand new that is really the brainchild of Brian Shook in The Office is a site called Kabookit, K-A-B-O-O-K-I-T. Again, it's free. It allows agents to post when they are when they book clients on shows, and it's a great resource for actors to see what agents are booking clients and what clients they are booking, so that they know whether that agent represents an actor that is similar to themselves. And it allows basically agents and managers to promote their talent that are booking jobs, and casting directors go to it to see who is hot, to give them an idea of who's booking what shows. And it's something that was just created in February-March timeframe of this year, and is really taking off. And people are finding new ways of using it and using it as a means of communicating. And I think that everybody should take a look at it. And there's going to be some really neat features coming up in the future where an actor can, we're going to develop more along the lines of an actor being able to post on a calendar, hey, I'm going to appear in this play, or I'm going to be in this show. And casting directors can go to that calendar and see what actors are working to remind them, oh, I really want to watch this actor. And it's going to be more and more a way for actors to communicate to the buyers that, hey, here's where you can see me perform. Here's where you can watch me. Here's where you can validate me. And so the next time you're casting, think about me and put me on your list before you even turn out a breakdown.
Wow, very cool. Very, very cool. Well, sir, I so appreciate you being here, and I hope you'll come back sometime and share more, and we'll let the guests know, you know, when that would be. But you have been a fabulous wealth of information, and thank you so much, Gary.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, you have an incredible rest of the day. We'll be checking out all of the websites and looking at all the future forthcoming from you and your incredible team. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good luck to you now.
All right. Bye now. That was my guest was Mr. Gary Marsh, founder and creator of Breakdown Services, which includes Actors Access, Casting About, Virtual Channel Network, and so much more. And he just mentioned kabookit.com. And I want to thank him again for being here and spending his time and sharing with you and me all the information that he has done today. And listen, we've got so many more exciting guests coming up in the future, so I hope you'll stay tuned, and I hope you'll keep sharing this website and these interviews with all your friends and your contacts. You can become a member of the Rex Sykes Movie Beat Friends page just by clicking the like button on that page at Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter, which is Rex Sykes Movie BT, Rex Sykes Movie BT. By the way, at Actors Access is also on Twitter, at Actors Access is also on Twitter. Keep in mind that Billy Club, we're in the final hours. We need your help. We want to surpass our goal. We'd like to make a whole lot more money, because the more money that we have, obviously, the more we can spend on the production. And you always put at least the way I think of it, is you always put a minimum up as the amount that you can work with. Some people put up maximums. We put up minimums in this particular case and hope to exceed it. So if you can help out by donating in some way for Billy Club, that would be awesome. We only have some hours left, so if you're listening to this archived or live, it ends September 2nd at 1 a.m. All right, everybody, have a fabulous day. Thanks to everyone who's been in the chat room. Do leave comments, please rate and review the podcast, and do spread the word and live tweet and post on Facebook and share these interviews with everyone. And make your movies, complete your projects, and until we meet the next time, that is a wrap.